They told me to do the church out of the tower, so I'm going to start with prayer in nombre del Padre, del Espíritu Santo. What did they give me that church for? Father, we thank you so much for your love, your grace, your mercies that you give to us every single day, Father. And Lord, we pray for the times we're living in today, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit would speak to the pastors and leaders. And Lord, that this would be a special conference as we pour out our hearts to you, Lord. And Father, that you just really reveal yourself to each one of us individually, to those wives that are here, Father, and Lord, to those husbands, and Lord, even maybe some of the marriage problems that are hanging out here today, Lord God. We pray, God, that you just really speak loud and clear and that you really pierce our hearts, Lord, so that we can know you intimately and fully and completely, God. Lord, I also pray for our troops in Afghanistan, Lord God, for those that have been lost, for their families, those wives, those children, Lord God. And Father, for those that are coming back, we pray for them, God, that you just really speak to their hearts, Lord, and that you just use us to speak as a church to them, Lord. And so, Lord, we pray for the young as we pray for the old. And Lord, we ask you that you would be the one always to be glorified and that it's your church, not our church, Lord God. And so, Lord, we thank you now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray, God. Amen. Well, if you want to turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 18 to 29, let me begin by reading the church. To the angel of the church of Thyatira, write these things, saith the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. Now, it seems like here Jesus is beginning to this church to speak in his judgment. Something is wrong with this church. He doesn't start out with love, but he starts out with judgment. He goes on to say this, I know your works, your love, your service, your faith, and your patience. Notice, and as for your works, the last are more than the first. Then he comes back and he says, well, you know, all the work that you're putting in, it looks really good. From the outside, it looks like you're really jamming and you're really moving ahead. And it seems like you really are prospering in all these things that you're doing. Nevertheless, there's that word. I have a few things against you because you have allowed that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her a time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed and those who commit adultery with her into the great tribulation. Unless they repent of their deeds, I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now to you I say, and to the rest of Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put no other burden, but hold fast what you have until I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give the power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed in pieces like the potter's vessel, as also have received from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, it's interesting that here he's talking to this church, and I like what he says to this church in the first couple of verses, verses 20 and 21. He says, nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach, seduce my servants, and to commit sexual immorality, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her a time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Now, to me, it's interesting that, you know, we have a leadership and churches are really moving along and things like this are happening. But I just want to kind of share a couple of things that are on my heart, because as you look at the church today, you know, the seven churches, and you know, the church that is moving about today in these last days is a pretty amazing church. One of the things that that I see, and because I am, you know, in that pastoral board with Chuck Smith, you know, I've been in ministry 40 years this year, and it's been a long time, and it's just amazing how time will fly so rapidly. And I remember when I started with these young guys, you know, we were all young at that particular time, and I remember going to the first shepherd school and seeing these potential guys, 12 guys in the school, and watching to see what would happen. And then looking back now, 40 years later, some of these young men that came to the ministry and were called by God, you can't find them. You can't find them. And it's amazing that, you know, we hear it so many times, you know, concerning pastors about really taking care of themselves and watching out that you don't get entrapped by the enemy Satan, you know, in your marriage, with the finances, you know, with your time you put into the church and the way you counsel people, especially women. And yet, why is it that every single year we go to pastors' conferences, we hear about pastors falling or stealing from the church? It's pretty heavy. One of the churches right down our street, a Calvary Chapel. You know, it's pretty amazing that this guy's wife had cancer. She died. And then just a few months later, as he was going to be teaching at the youth conference, was revealed that he already had 5 women in his church that he was actually having sex with. Something is wrong. Something is definitely wrong. Maybe some of you came like that here today. Drinking for 20 years while you preach, and drugs and sexual things that are going in your life, like pornography and the internet. These are the issues in the Church of Thyatira. It's not about Roman Catholicism. It's what here the church is writing to. He's writing to a problem that exists in the church, and this is the church today. The church that is lacking power. Yes, that we have big churches, but it's not because of any one of us. They're big churches with a lot of Corinthian churches, a lot of carnal people that do not have the fear of God. As I was looking over the scripture and I was going through the passages here, the main subject that stood out to my mind was what Jesus said to this church: repent. Repent. And yet, when you look at this church, it's incredible that when he uses the word the Son of God, he's speaking of Jesus becoming not only the Son of God, but also telling them, listen, I'm going to judge. And when I judge, it's not going to be light. It is going to be heavy. And yet, there was a remnant there that were not doing what the other people were doing. I think that when you really look at the call of God in your life, you have to come to a place in your life, am I really called to the ministry, or is it just a job? Is it a way to make a living in the church? I know that a lot of you guys don't have a lot of money, but still, you know, a lot of people use the ministry so they don't have to get a secular job. And if we're not making it, like we were not making it, get a job and have your church on the side. Don't we learn that where God leads, God provides? Then why is it that people are writing letters for money now in Calvary Chapel? Asking for money when we were taught never to ask for money. Pretty serious issues that we have in the Church of Thyatira. And yet at the same time, I think how God must feel when pastor, teachers, evangelists really don't study, but they just come up and they just share. And it's the pulpit has become an entertainment instead of holiness unto the Lord. It's really important that we understand our call, we understand the anointing of God in each one of our lives completely and fully. Because these people here were participating in that sexually immoral way. And you think about the different people today in the church where they're stealing funds and they're cheating in their income taxes. And Jesus said, pay Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Hiding things from the body of Christ, not having integrity, you know, with the state, with the country. And at the same time, think of when people come into your church and they entrust you with their funds. Are you using them and directing them where they have given them to? Or are you doing whatever you really want? You're doing your own thing as a leader. I want to ask you a question. What kind of a leader are you? Are you really anointed by God? Or you like the cheers of the people? You want to be known. You want to be a celebrity. You want to be famous. It's amazing how many pastors, when they get to a place, they separate themselves. They have bodyguards. They're untouchable anymore. They can't be with the people because, you know, I'm big. That is so sad. That's not the ministry I learned. And I was a heathen when I came to Christ. And it's really important that we don't forget what we've been taught through Calvary Chapel. What Pastor Chuck has demonstrated all these years, even to the present time. What real ministry is, what real pastorship is. Not going and taking long vacations and using God's money to take your vacations. And buying things for yourself and saying it's the churches. We need to be careful of that. Remember, one day you're going to be judged. You're going to have to give an answer to God for what you have done. Very important. I like what Proverbs 28:13 says. He who covers his sins will not prosper. Will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Notice that. Solomon here is warning that if we cover our sin, we cannot prosper. But if we repent before God, he will have mercy. He will have mercy. You know, it's interesting that when a pastor or a leader gets caught in his sin and they say, well, I repent. That's not repentance. Repentance is like today you're sitting here and you're doing things that are not right, you know, whatever that sin may be, and you're hiding it instead of saying, you know what? I came to this conference. I need to make things right before I am exposed. I want to be right with God. And you can say to someone, you know what? This is my life. I want to repent. That's true repentance. True repentance, making a 180-degree turn. Not going back to your fellowship, not going back to the things that you were doing before you came to this conference. But becoming obedient to the Word of God. You'll receive forgiveness, you'll be blessed by the Lord, and if you continue to obey God's Word, God will use you in a greater way, and then you can give the glory to Him for who He is. And for who you are and for who I am, we're servants of the Lord. That's the purpose of this conference. We need to take an examination personally of our own lives individually here. And at the same time, we need to do what God says in His Word, that we need to come to that place where we take that examination. In 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves as whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Don't you know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you unless indeed you are disqualified? I think of how many in Calvary Chapel only have been disqualified. Listen, just because you're on the pulpit every Sunday or Wednesdays and going to conferences and teaching, that doesn't mean that God approves of it. You can continue in the pulpit, but yet at the same time be disqualified. Which means what? The anointing of God is no longer there. Yeah, people will get saved because it's not you, it's the Lord, it's the Holy Spirit. It's not you, it's not about you, it's about God. It's about the Lord. That's why here, you know, God doesn't want to hide His face from us. But he wants us to be honest. He wants us to be truthful. He wants us to be holy people, even as he is holy. In 1 John 1, 8 and 9, even to the Thyatira church, they should have done this. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to continually cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. We have to understand that we have a lawyer at our defense, Jesus. Jesus is my lawyer. 1 John 2:1-2 says, my little children, these things I write unto you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. The whole world. We need to trust and obey what God's word says. We need to trust and obey what God says daily. This will be the only way that we can experience, listen carefully, the true peace of God in our lives and the real grace of God poured upon our lives. Truly, it is the Lord. The peace of God that passes all understanding in my life and in your life. You see, the word that he uses here in the church of Thyatira to repent is the word to have a change of mind, heart, and attitude. I thought that happened when we came to Christ. Now, when we come to Christ, it's exciting because we're new believers. You know, we don't know much. We're learning, and we make a lot of mistakes. We trip and fall, and we say a lot of stupid things. But at the same time, as we grow in the Lord, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, if we continue in that same attitude and not have the fear of God, but think that we are in control or our fame or whatever it may be, that people are drawn to me, something is definitely wrong. You haven't learned God's word. It's not about us, I say it again. About Jesus Christ. We only have one life to live and it'll soon be passed, and the only thing that will last is what you do for Christ, period. That's it. Nothing else. Nothing else is of any value. Only what we do for Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man is in Christ Jesus, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become brand new. Brand new. And one of the things that God has spoken to my heart is that if I'm truly a servant of God, if I am not doing what God called me to do, then I have no business being his servant. No business being his servant. I need to move away. I need to be men enough, honest enough, godly enough to say, you know what? I don't belong in the pulpit anymore. And go get a job. Or do something else. But don't stand in the holiest of holies and continue your sin before God. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Ezekiel tells us that when God touches our lives and there's true repentance, what does he say? He gives you a new heart and a new mind. A new heart and a new mind. Ezekiel 36, 26 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Notice, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. That's obedience. Don't be a hearer and not a doer. Be a hearer and a doer of God's word. If you want God to bless your life. Think of David. When David was there, you know, in Israel, and he had been a battle fighter. He fought so many battles. He was a man of blood. And then when he came home out of the battle, he wasn't young. He was old. He decided to go on his balcony, look down, and hear his Bathsheba bathing on top of a flat roof. And instead of looking once and going back in and say, forget it, he began to look more and more and more until he desired her. And then he caught her, he fell with her, she got pregnant, and then he killed her husband. But he never confessed his sin until Nathan the prophet was sent. Until Nathan the prophet came. And David was forgiven. But look at David's life from that point on, what happens to David. I mean, it's horrible. Yes, God will forgive you. God will cleanse you, wash you. But your effectiveness of Christ, will it be the same as when you first began with your first love? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you and touches your life? Very important to understand that. Then think about this. The repentance is the life not only that is given to us by Jesus Christ, by the will of God, we come, and because I hate my sin, it makes me mourn, it makes me weak, because I have sinned not against only me, I've sinned against God. My sin, first of all, is against God. And then whatever I've done, it will affect my life. And guess what? It will affect, like dominoes, the rest of the people in my family and friends. It's like a domino effect. Not only you are going to get hurt, everybody else is going to get hurt. Oswald Chambers says, quote, "Scriptural repentance leads to positive salvation and sanctification. The only true repentance man is a holy man." A holy man. A.W. Tozer says, "I think there's a little dub or a little doubt that the teaching of salvation without repentance has lowered the moral standards of the church and has produced a multitude of deceived religious professors who erroneously believe themselves to be saved when in fact they are still in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity." The bond of iniquity. The first message that Jesus ever preached, and Peter and James, notice, and John, and also Jesus, what was it? Repentance. Repent. Repent, repent, repent. That's a word that is needed for today in the 21st century. Not just to be proclaimed, it needs to be practiced. Practiced fully and completely. That was the problem with Thyatira. Thyatira, he who has an ear, let me hear what the Spirit says. It's incredible that here John, in writing, he says to them, "And a few things I have against you, because you allow this woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess." Jezebel was either symbolic or a real woman, but what did she do? She came to seduce. She brought sin into the church, and sin destroys the church. Sin destroys the church. The church cannot go on in sin. The Lord's going to come again, but it seems like people don't believe that he's coming. I mean, it's just incredible. And I'm not talking about the sheep and the lambs in your church. I'm talking to leaders. Leaders that do not have the fear of God in their lives. And you study the Bible every week and you read the Bible every week. That's cool. But is the Bible taking effect in your life? And if it's not effective in your life, it will not be effective in your hearers. It will not be effective until it becomes effective in your life. You're preaching into the mirror. It's really important that we understand that God either called us or he hasn't called us. And when he calls us, he anoints us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that we can become not only like him, we can become in such a way that we stand before him, not ashamed, not in pride, but broken before God. Broken before him. The reason I say that is because there's so much pride in the pulpits of America today in the world. Taking the credit, which credit is not really due, but it's the Lord that anoints us and uses us. And he can do away with us anytime he wants to. And the one thing lacking that I see in the church today, like never before, is that humility. The humility. This church of Thyatira was proud, man. They were proud, and yet there was that remnant of people that really, truly were humble, and they were keeping themselves from sin, and they really, truly wanted to be used by God. Remember the first church? They left what? They left their first love. Even though they had great works, even though we can build little churches, medium-sized churches, big old churches, it doesn't really matter. Is the Lord, Lord of my life? Does he really control my life? Whatever happened to any one of us here to get on our faces before God? And ask him to break us. Time is so short. So many people are going to hell. And so many of our families, friends, are not in Christ because they've seen the inside of our lives, the way we behave. We behave one way at home and we behave another way in public. That's not right. That's called hypocrisy. Hypocritical. An actor with many faces. We get around people, we're so smiley, we're so nice, and we talk big things and all things, when yet deep inside the Holy Spirit is saying, quit being a phony, repent. Get right with me. And how many times does God have to say it? That we need to return to the Lord. Remember 1 Samuel 7:3, then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away your foreign gods, the Ashtaroths, from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hands of your enemy, the Philistines. We spend so much time speaking about Satan when Satan has no power over our lives. We should speak more about Jesus. More about Jesus. But the problem is that the church is such a compromiser that we really believe, because we're living in these days of the 21st century, we're more interested in style than the gospel to be preached. More about style and being, you know, on the forefront than really spending time with the Lord and giving the Word of God as God gives it to you, and as you receive it, you are his spokesman to speak. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. And the church, what he's saying, repent. Repent. Turn from your sins. Return unto me, thus saith the Lord God. We need national repentance. We need internal repentance. We need unveiling repentance. We need true repentance before God so that God can drop, or actually he can send his Holy Spirit, like in the book of Acts. When they were 120 gathered together, the Holy Spirit came upon them. They began to speak in tongues. 30 nations outside said, what is they saying? And then what happened? They heard them all speak in their own dialecta, praising God. And then you get to chapter 19 of Acts, where Paul comes, meets us 12 guys. They heard from John the Baptist. And they said, have you guys ever heard of the Holy Spirit? They said, no. He explained to them, they were baptized, and the church took off. But then from Acts 19 to Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 through 7, what happens? In 30 years, the church has left her first love. Today, we have left our first love. We're in a place where carnality rules in our lives. Being popular, being, you know, okay with everybody, and no matter what, sweep it under the carpet, and let's don't talk about that. Let's just go on. You can't go on until you repent. Until you come to that place in your life where you understand that you have sinned against God Almighty. And God wants to pour out His Holy Spirit in such a powerful way. That He wants to do it in such a way that we don't boast about it, but people can see it in our lives. That's what I tell people all the time. Don't tell me what you are. Show me. Show me with your life. Too many braggers. And not enough repenters. Not enough people that truly are repenting before God. Is God wants to do a tremendous work in my life and through your lives as He wants to use our lives mightily and powerfully. But we have to come to that place in our lives. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. And the windows of heaven will open up. And the Holy Spirit will be poured out because we do need a revival today like never before. And if we don't have a revival, I wonder what the church is going to be like if the Lord tarries with the emerging church coming up and all the other churches that are not preaching and teaching God's word, and they don't believe, you know, in really teaching or preaching, but they believe in entertaining to keep the people in their churches. To tell you the truth, I really don't care. If people say or leave, I don't really care. I'm either called or not called. But if you're going to watch on the message of God, shame on you. I hope God takes away your church. By the way, it's not your church. This is church. And so it's really important that we came here, and we came here not to be entertained. We came here to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. And then when we leave here, we leave not the way we came. We leave totally humble, broken, repentant, so that when we go back to our churches, the Holy Spirit will speak. And the Holy Spirit will fall upon us, and we will say, "Holy, holy Lord God Almighty." Father, I pray in your name, God, I pray that the Holy Spirit, God, would speak. Father, speak to our hearts individually, Lord. And Father, that the issue of sin would be settled here today, Lord God. And Father, that your Holy Spirit would come upon us and that we would see your glory, Father, as we give all glory and honor to your holy name, God. Lord, we pray for Israel. We pray for America, Lord God. Lord, we pray for the church, that the church would become salt and light in these dark days, Lord God. And Lord, that you would give us a hunger and a thirst to know you more intimately than ever, ever before, God. Lord, as the whole world is perishing, and Lord, they're going to go to hell if we don't take the gospel to them, Lord God. Lord, we pray that as we leave here today, Lord God, and throughout the remaining conference, God, that you would speak in a mighty, powerful way, holiness unto you, Lord God. We thank you so much for your love and grace and mercies, God. In the name of Jesus, I pray these things, Lord. Amen. Thank you, guys. God bless you.